the Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour. We're so very thankful to be able to join with you. And so we love you and thanking God for this opportunity to be together. And wow, what a weekend. And then Monday, celebrating the birthday of the United States of America. And we are very thankful that we could not only be in this country and be involved in what God is doing in America, but also just the realization of true liberty. And we're going to go into some of that today, as our devotional message will be pertinent on that subject, and hope that you can stay with us, not only just for the entire broadcast, but this entire week, as we're going to be looking at the whole premise of liberty in Christ. And what does that mean? What does that include? And how can we persevere in it? So, being that this is Grace Hour, you're, of course, invited after the devotional message to join us on your telephone or on YouTube or on Facebook, whatever media platform you are presently using. You can join us. Those of you that are on those platforms, you can, of course, text your comments to us, but we want to hear from you on the phone. So let me give you the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7060. You can call that number, or locally here, or our dear friends up in Canada, 410-483-3700. Either way, we'll get you on the broadcast for your Bible questions, your comments, perhaps there's a prayer request, and we'd love to have you. Or you can simply email your question. How about that? Email it to questions@gracehour.org. That's questions@gracehour.org. And being that we're coming off of a precious, amazing, beautiful time of convention. And we realized that, wow, God did some things. There were some things that occurred in our hearts and lives based upon convention. So we are going to continue in that liberty of what we heard during convention. And joining me in the studio today is the promising director of Maryland Bible College and Seminary, Pastor Matt Garrett, and he's going to share something from the Word of God. And then we are going to go to your questions, your comments on the phone, and feel free to join us on the Grace Hour. Pastor Matt?
Thanks, Dr. Ray. Hey, let's just pray for a minute as we get ready to hear from the Word of God. Jesus, we are so thankful for your ability to infiltrate every part of our lives. And we ask that you fill us with your Spirit, you fill us with your Word today, that you teach us, that you give us lots and lots, heaps of grace, Lord, this morning and all throughout the day, each and every day. Thank you for a holiday weekend and a time of rest, a time to be with family and friends and with the church. And we just ask you to bless these words now and give us a great portion here from Galatians 5. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to start with Galatians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 1 through 13, and then we'll get into our topic today. The theme behind it, as Pastor Wright was saying, liberty in Christ, liberty in grace and faith. And specifically, you'll see this phrase a couple times here in Galatians 5. It's being called to liberty or being called to freedom. So in Galatians 5, starting in verse 1, I'm reading from the King James. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. but faith which works by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they would even be cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Interesting point about the book of Galatians is that this letter was written by Paul to many of the churches in basically what we would consider today to be modern-day Turkey. Multiple churches had a select group of individuals coming in to teach them after Paul had left, after Barnabas had left, and they would come in and they would teach. They would teach receiving Christ by grace, but then they would also teach that you have to keep the law in order to be a Christian. You have to, specifically what he's addressing in Galatians 5 is you have to be circumcised as the Jews were in order to be a Christian. And these individuals who came in, they were called Judaizers. Maybe a simple way to think of a Judaizer today is a person who comes in, they say that salvation requires keeping the Mosaic law as well as belief in Christ. So there's the grace of Christ, but then there's something added, some form of human effort that's tacked onto that, that men will come in and teach. These men were coming in to teach. Paul is very adamant against these Judaizers. He goes after them multiple times through the epistle. If you go earlier on into Galatians, he says, first he's speaking to his congregations. He's saying in Galatians 1 verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, unto not just grace, not just believing in Jesus Christ, not just receiving the Holy Spirit, but all of that. And then doing all these other things to show yourself that you're saved, to show other people that you're saved. I marvel that you're so soon removed. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul addresses them again. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So you'll see this argument being formed throughout the chapter. And so Paul is addressing this idea of the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, what is this liberty? It is very simply grace. It is very simply the unmerited favor of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, that Christ came and did the entire work for us. He came and he fulfilled the entirety of the law. It says in the Gospel of Matthew, I believe in chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is speaking and he says this. This is very pertinent to our conversation today. In verse 17, Jesus speaking to the crowd, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. What is Jesus saying here? What is Paul addressing about these Judaizers to his churches, to the men that he preached Christ crucified to the men who he said in Galatians chapter 2 to these men and women, these believers, he said, you are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, yet not yourselves, but Christ who lives in you. And the life which you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. What is Paul saying? What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that when he came to fulfill the law, he was the only one who was actually physically, spiritually qualified to not only fulfill the law, but to teach the law and to do the law. So by Christ fulfilling the entirety of the ceremonial law, the entirety of the Ten Commandments, the 600 and plus ceremonial laws that Moses lays out, only that righteousness is the righteousness that allows that transcends what the Pharisees teach, that transcends what the Judaizers teach. Who can obtain that righteousness? Who can obtain that righteousness? Everyone. Everyone can obtain that righteousness. You didn't think I was going to say everyone, did you? You thought I was going to say, well, if you do this, that, and the other thing, then you can obtain that righteousness. But what is Paul addressing? He's saying that Christ came in, did the work, fulfilled the law, blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us in Colossians, took upon the entirety of sin, and he fulfilled the penalty. He fulfilled the entirety of the law. He took upon God's wrath. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 21, it says about us that actually, let's see, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, we are standing fast, believing that it is by grace alone that we are saved. By grace, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Stand fast in that freedom. Stand fast in the liberty that grace has afforded all of us. That word liberty in the Greek word is eleutheria. Eleutheria. It simply means, I have it right here, it simply means the option to do or not to do, the option to do or not to do things that have absolutely no relationship to salvation. Paul is encouraging all of his people that he has preached the gospel to. What is the gospel? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to every single person. He is encouraging all of them that any action that they take apart from believing in Jesus Christ as their Savior, apart from applying faith to his work, to what he has done, any action outside of that is completely, it is totally within their purview. It is totally up to them. Now Paul says other things about this. He says, all things are possible to me, but not all things are profitable. In another section of the Bible, it says that the love of Christ constrains us. And in another definition of this Greek word, eleutheria, it says that true liberty is living according to Christ's ways, not according to our own. It's actually being transformed to be more like Christ on a day-to-day basis. So we stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, what are these Judaizers pushing the entire time to these churches? Notice Christ comes in with the message of grace, and the message of grace in John chapter 1 is higher. It is way higher than the Mosaic law. It says this in John 1, and verse 16 and 17. Well, let's start in verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace coming in higher than the law, coming in above what Moses did. Christ coming in to fulfill the law and take us to a whole new standing, to a whole new place, standing, seated in heavenly places in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. The Judaizers are pushing this little, earthly, outwardly, procedure that takes place, in men. It's called circumcision. And they're pushing this and saying, well, unless you you take this ordinance that we have, this ordinance that, by the way, if you go the whole way back to Genesis 15 and you see what happened between God and Abraham, you see that Abraham believed God. Okay, there's the grace. Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. And then to show the belief, to have a mark between Abraham and God, circumcision was like made as an outward sign. It came after grace. It came after. So what are these guys doing? They're taking that example and they're trying to make it into a law to say that, oh, if Abraham, if this was right for our father, then it must be right for every single person. But Christ doesn't add conditions to his grace. Christ doesn't come and say, okay, well, if you believe in me and this and that and the other thing, and you go and do these things, and you go and show these signs and wonders, and go and act this way, Christ says, no, if you believe in me, what does he say to the thief on the cross as he's dying? The thief on the cross says, remember me. And Christ says, surely this day you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say, you have to do this, you have to repent of every single sin you've ever committed in your life. He doesn't say you have to start, the thief on the cross doesn't even have an opportunity to live any more of life after this day. He doesn't give him any sort of requirements to continue in. He just says, surely this day you will be with me in paradise. So what is it about men that we all always try to find a way to conform around a group, to be agreed on this outward circumstance? What are the Judaizers of today in modern day Christianity? What does that look like? What would Paul be kicking against right now if he saw it in our churches today? Maybe the guys who preach water baptism as the way of salvation. Maybe guys who say that they cling to James chapter 2 and they say, well, if you have faith, then you would also have deeds, but they forget the order of how that works, that the faith actually produces the deeds. Maybe Paul would be kicking against the churches today that say, well, if you have the Holy Spirit, you need to show the gift of tongues, and you need to show this gift, and you need to show that gift. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about Jesus Christ paying for your sins. We're talking about Jesus Christ. I started all this. I said, why do you think these guys came in after Paul and Barnabas left? Why do you think they came in to teach this after they were gone? Because the grace message is so much higher than any legalistic message that can ever be preached. The grace message is so far above and beyond that when they're there, when they're preaching, these guys, whoever they are, whoever came in unawares, you know, like wolves in sheep's clothing, they wouldn't even have the audacity to speak against this message with those people present. But with people gone, with the leaders gone, they think they can sneak this stuff in. Oh yeah, you have to be circumcised in order to be truly saved. What does Paul say? In Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith, which works by love. It is all grace. It is all faith. It is all a gift from God. It is all from God the Father, given through Christ the Son, so that everyone would have opportunity to receive. It says in Hebrews chapter 7 that the law in and of itself made nothing perfect. Absolutely nothing perfect. Christ, who fulfilled the law, made everything perfect. There's a huge difference in what you're believing in and what you're clinging to. If you're clinging to the works that you can do, if you're clinging to the mark that you can leave on humanity, then you're not clinging to Christ. Whenever it says, so it's talking about running a race in verse 7 of Galatians chapter 5, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? There's two ways to run a race. There's two ways to run a race. If you've ever run a track meet or you've ever been in a race with someone, do you know what slows you down when you're running a race against someone? Do you know what slows you down? It's looking back to see where the other competitors are. It's looking to your right or left. If you're running the 100-yard dash and you're just focused on the finish line, there's only one thing you're focused on, the finish line. If you start looking to the right or to the left unconsciously, your whole body is slowing down in order to do that. That's one way to run a race. Looking around to see what other people are doing around you. Looking at how other people are conforming. Looking at what outward signs you can show to say, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm a believer. Yeah. I mean, this is what the Pharisees were famous for. The Pharisees, what did they have? They had like the phylacteries going down their arms, the frontlets over their eyes. They had all sorts of things to show their righteousness. But what did Christ say in Matthew chapter 5? To exceed, you have to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. There's only one way to do that, belief in Christ, not conforming to them. The other way to run the race is in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, looking at the finish line, looking at Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of your faith, the captain and the finisher of your faith in another translation, the one who you are focused upon, the one you are looking at, the one that is turning you, slowly transforming you into his image. Men are worried about conformity. Christ is worried about transformity. There's no such word. Transformation. Transformation. It's amazing. So going back to Galatians chapter 5, what are we free from? We're free from the law. We're free from grace plus this other thing equals salvation. We're free from men telling us what to do rather than Christ telling us that it is finished. At the end of the passage that I read in Galatians 5, verse 13, it says, "You have been called unto liberty." This is our theme, called unto freedom. You have been beckoned out of the place that you were in, out of the course of this world in Ephesians chapter 2, out from under the prince of the power of the air, into grace, into truth. John 8:32, truth that sets you free, truth that sets you on a rock that is higher than yourself. Grace, which is way up here, way up here. You have been called unto that. And then he gives the warning at the end, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. If you are living in grace, you are going to be so filled with love that the flesh is not even going to be an option for you. It says later on in Galatians chapter 5, it says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not even going to be a second thought to you because you are overcome with the goodness of God, which led you to repentance. You are overcome with the sacrifice that Christ made on your behalf. You are not as the Judaizers wish that you would be. You are not frustrating, Galatians 2:21, the grace of God. Righteousness doesn't come by the law. Otherwise, Christ's death would be in vain. The preeminence. You are giving the preeminence to Christ's sacrifice, to his love poured out on you. And you are walking in it, and you are moving in it. And it's the most freeing thing you can do in your life is to just believe Jesus Christ and what he's already done for you. Believing Jesus Christ and what he's done for you is the ultimate freedom that any person in any country, any nation of any nationality could ever have. And that's what we invite you to today. That's what we invite you to when we say you're called to freedom. Believe in Jesus Christ, that the work is finished, that he died for your sins, that he took care of everything for you, and that all he asks of you to do is believe in him. Only believe in your heart. Only believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, Acts chapter 16, verse 31, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Only believe, John 3:16, John 3:17. Only believe in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Pastor Matt, beautiful. And I'm sure that those of you that are tuned in, you got a graceful ear of the truth that sets us free. And this is the glorious gospel. You know, Paul said that, it's this glorious gospel, because I love what you're saying, Pastor Matt, that, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were scrupulous about crossing their T's and dotting their I's. You know, they they got narrowed down to the washing of tables and cups, as you know, we recently heard. And then, you know, people can go that way. They get very particular about the things that they can do and that they can control. But I love what you were saying about how there was only one person qualified in the entire universe, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what was it that, you know, Paul was saying to the Galatian church, you know, here's Christ, and he has been, you know, plainly and clearly set before you, what? Crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And why was that the key point of reference? Because it is a crucified, buried, and ascended, resurrected, ascended, and seated Christ that we're talking about. It's a finished work message, because there would be no way that Jesus Christ could go to heaven unless he was absolutely perfect, spotless, and blameless. So we understand that he didn't, you know, change the law or skimp on the law or, you know, cut corners on the law. He just fulfilled it, because his life was qualified to do so. And then those who trust, rely, put their whole credence, you know, their whole reliance upon what Christ has done, those are the ones, you know, as many as believed on him, he gave them the right, the ability mm-hmm. to become something that they couldn't do themselves, and that's to become the sons and daughters of God. Well, friends, the phone lines are open. You can join us today here on the Grace Hour, 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700. And you, those of you that are watching on Facebook or YouTube Live, you can submit your comments. We'd love to see and hear from you. Let us know what part of the world you are, you know, you are enjoying this broadcast from, you know, and it's a great honor and great privilege to be able to come be with you, you with us today, and each and every broadcast. So we'd love to hear from you and make your comments, and that'll be wonderful. So, yeah, let's go to the phones. And Dan, you are on the Grace Hour. Thank you so much for your comments. Go right ahead.
Hello, this is Daniel Flores right here with Jesse Fires and Antonio Brown. And we're just heading back from Richmond, Virginia, right from Richmond 31. And I can't help but think about a book that's called How to Get Rich in 31 Days. And it was about how greater grace won Richmond, Virginia in 31 days. I just can't get this out of my head. But it's been a great trip. We went to our soul winning spot we usually go to at Libby Hill Park. We met this young man who was just very lonely and looking for someone to talk to. That's exactly what he told us when he approached myself and Pastor Rinaldo Brown. He said, I'm just lonely. I was home alone, and I came out here to talk to somebody. So here we are talking to him, and we brought this word happiness. And then the young man asked us, but how do I have happiness? And then we began to tell him about the gospel, and he was just so open to what we were saying and what was being done in Richmond and what Greater Grace has been doing in Richmond since January. And so just wanted to share that testimony to encourage. And, but Richmond's been great, and we have Pastor Shala coming down this weekend, and we'd love for everyone to join us if that's possible. But I believe he'll be here Friday and Saturday, and that'll be this weekend coming up.
Wow. Well, Dan, you know, you and Mr. Fires, Jesse Fires, you know, and the group that's going down, and, you know, here's the thing that you know, Pastor Matt is really touching on. What gives us the right to even talk to other people about the gospel of Jesus Christ unless it has already set us free? You know, we are not encumbered by personality issues or fleshly issues. I mean, we can go there, but you know what? Having tasted this liberty. So now you guys are down, you know, another part of the country, 31 days. You're going to be preaching
Let's
the gospel.
Go.
Yeah. And it is awesome. You guys are the, you know, you're breaking ground down there, and that's awesome. And we're so thankful for that. We're praying that God will do an amazing work by the grace of God there And so, yeah, thanks so much for the report and the update. Love it.
Hey, Daniel, yeah. Let me ask you a question while we have you. Just to relate to our theme today, what would you say is the reason that you guys went to Richmond in the first place? And I'm gonna be a leading, like, if this was a courtroom, this question would be struck down right away by opposing counsel because I'm leading you right into the answer that I want you to give. But would you say that it was because you felt like you needed to prove something to God, or would you say it was because of something else? And if it's something else, what would that something else be?
All right, if I'm being quite frank, something else. And it was just the amount of grace that I seen and felt when I was in Richmond that first time in January. There was just so many testimonies that I can share, and every single team member, really. And just so many salvations in the matter of, we were there for maybe 4 days. Just the amount of grace that God gave us, it'd kind of be sin if we didn't continue to go to Richmond. And so that's why I still continue to go now. Every time we go, every weekend that we go, it's always a different... I always see Richmond in a different way, and I love it even more each time I visit.
Is awesome. That the answer you were looking for?
I mean, that was perfect. Thanks, Daniel. I appreciate you guys going and doing what you're doing.
Yes, God is good. God is very good.
Amen.
Awesome. Well, Dan, thank you for calling in, and... we're going to just believe like what your heart is expressing, a heart for souls in Richmond, Virginia. Yeah. God bless you, sir. Thanks for calling in.
So I'm expecting to see you guys soon, right, in Richmond?
Amen.
Hopefully.
Okay, thank you so much. God bless you.
All right, bye. You too. Now, you know, I love your point on the lead-in question because, you know, people would say, okay, now that I'm saved, Pastor, now that I'm born again, I want to maybe prove that I love Jesus.
Right.
Or, you know, God, you've done so much for me, I've got to, kind of make it up, do something for you. I mean, and we've all said those sentences, we've all maybe even prayed those as prayers. Okay, but what you're not even suggesting, what you're scripturally underlying here is that that's not even the case.
I will take that thought hopefully to my grave. Here's a great two verses, I believe, that speak of this. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Mm. As you have received, how did you receive Christ Jesus? Freely, by faith, your own choice, your own free volition. We could argue to nobody's, we could argue over and over again as to where that faith or where that choice came from, whether or not God ordained it before time or whether or not it was given to you as an option at the moment, at the present time. We could argue that, and it's really not important. The fact that you use those faculties to make that decision because of the grace that God has given all of us to be able to make that decision. How did you receive him? Freely. And then how do we walk in him? As we have received him. And then in verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. It is not about what you can do for God now that he has done everything for you. The entirety of our Christian faith is centered on, like you said earlier, the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. It's centered on what he has done for us. And this is what motivates us to go out. You think about Paul in the book of Acts. Before he's Paul, he's Saul, and he's motivated one way while his name is Saul in Acts chapter 7 and 8, and persecuting Christians and going and killing them and being there when Stephen is stoned to death. And he's motivated a certain way. Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews in Philippians, right? He's motivated a certain way. And then when he meets Christ, when Christ comes to him and says, "Paul," or "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Doesn't it hurt to kick against the thorns? Doesn't that hurt? Isn't it like, why are you motivated this way? It is me that you are persecuting." Mm. Then his life is transformed. And then he goes out on a missionary journey. He goes out not to persecute people, but to preach the liberty that Christ came and just gave him, the liberty to go out and believe in Jesus Christ, not to fulfill what a certain sect of believers would say is what is required of you, is the duty. One sect, when he was formerly Saul, is basically saying it's good to go out and kill these people who go against what we believe. And the other, through Christ, is saying it's good to go out and set people free. It's good to go out and give them new life, make them new creations. It is not the law that profits anything. It is the new creature, it says in the Bible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. You mentioned something about, you know, the existence of faith to believe, you know, to choose Jesus Christ, to trust in him. And I remember distinctly, you know, for my salvation, it wasn't in a vacuum, it wasn't in a religious act that I was going to do, you know, but it was hearing of the Word of God. So the guy that led me to the Lord, he took me to the Scriptures. He took me to the Bible. And I'd never thought that that was where you would want to go,
yeah,
you know, to get right with God or to, you know, change up your thinking. And but Romans 10:17, so faith comes,
yes.
I love it, you know, mm-hmm. we don't have to go get it, but
nope.
It comes by hearing.
Yeah.
And what was the first, you know, people would say, well, you know, the commands, you got to obey the commands. Okay, so let me ask you the question. What was the first commandment that God gave Israel? You're doing it right now. You're listening. You're listening for the next thing. What happened? Is my, you know, did my radio go bad? Hear, O Israel. Yeah.
Wow.
And that is like for us as well, because to hear the Word of God, to hear the glorious gospel, to hear what Christ came, he said, you know, I was anointed, Luke 4:18. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, okay, because he's anointed me. To what? To preach the gospel to the poor. Now, don't think that the poor here is talking about poverty in terms of, you know, coin and financial wealth and material goods. Poor means literally a sinner, a loser, someone who is out, okay? And Christ was the one who went to those that were out. And the Pharisees, of course, they weren't motivated to do that. The Pharisees wanted you to conform. And I love what you brought out, you know, with the created word of yours. You know,
transformity.
Yeah, transformity. I love it, you know, and that is a miracle that happens.
Mm-hmm.
People can conform in the energy of the flesh, but they cannot transform themselves because that takes the Spirit of God.
Yeah, that is completely outside of us. I mean, the Spirit is inside of us when we believe, but that is completely outside of our control. That is just, what does it say in Romans 12:2-3? It's the renewing of the mind day by day. How does that happen? Hearing the Word, receiving the Word, just being around believers who are hearing from God themselves and speaking to you as well. The renewing of your mind, the strengthening of the inner man inside of you. That is 100% up to God. People will take they'll take positional truth, and then they'll take sanctificational truth, and they'll say that positional truth has all been done for you, and then they'll say, well, sanctification requires your participation and requires your ability, and although we could reason that a little bit, I would say sanctification ultimately still relies 100% on what Christ did for us positionally.
Mm.
And that's what it says in Colossians 2. How have you received him? That's how you walk. How do you go forward in your Christianity? How are deeds made manifest?
Wow.
It is by believing in what Christ has done for you. It is by learning about your position that you start to experience your sanctification. It's still receiving the word of God. It's still receiving the life of God. It's still completely outside of yourself.
Well, you know, this is beautiful, Pastor Matt, because, you know, sanctification is progressive. So what did Jesus say? Sanctify them through thy word. Your word is truth. So as we, you know, participate in our sanctification, it's not we're causing the sanctification,
right,
but we are participating. And you know what? It's like amazing to think that we go from a state of glory to another state of glory, even so by, you know, the Spirit of the Lord. So it's the Holy Spirit. But, you know, sometimes I'd say, you know, here's the point I want to make. So people say, you know, I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven, hallelujah, thank you, I'll live my own life.
Yes.
Okay, so what's up with that?
Right.
What can be said to that person about what we're talking about? Are they in liberty or are they not in bondage to the lifestyle, the preferences, their, you know, their personality makeup, you know, the preferences of the flesh? And are they really truly experiencing liberty?
Sure. And Paul addresses this in the passage that we read, Galatians 5:13. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Another place he addresses it is Romans chapters 5 and 6. At the end of Romans chapter 5, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So what shall we say then, Romans 6, verse 1, Paul, what shall we say then to this? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? This liberty that Paul is speaking about in Galatians 5 and Romans chapter 6 is not only liberty from being weighed down by the Mosaic law, but it is also liberty from being weighed down by the bondage of sin, the bondage of death. It says in Romans 6, verse 2, that you are dead to sin. How would you live any longer in it? In Romans 6, verse 7, that if you are dead, then you are actually freed from sin. In Galatians 2:20, you've been crucified with Christ. It's a new life. In Romans 6, 14, sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law. Okay, remember, grace is higher than the law. Here's the law. Christ came to fulfill the law and take us to grace. You are not under the law, but you are under grace. You are under grace. You are answering to Christ's love and Christ's work in your life. People absolutely will use grace as a liberty to sin. They will say, oh, it's all covered. And in a sense, they're going to be correct theologically. Yes, it is all covered. But what is the true meaning of the word liberty? The Greek word eleutheria. True liberty is living as we should, not as we please. That's in the Greek definition for the word liberty. The love of Christ constrains us.
And think of this, and maybe we can hear some comments from our audience, and we'd love to. 1-800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. You can join us on the broadcast. We've got plenty of time left, friends. 410-483-3700 is the local number. Yeah, when a person is not crucified, they are not in bondage just to, you know, the immoral sins of their flesh, but they are in bondage to their volition, that is choosing for themselves. It automatically, you know, in the flesh, I'm going to choose me, myself, and I. But in Christ, I can choose him, the spirit, and the body. You see, it's something outward, it's something beyond just me. And so when people hear, as they can, very often, you know, a gospel that endorses me, God has saved you. Now you can do the best. You can live the best life that God would have you to live. Well, what is that? Is that the American dream? Is that, free from, you know, disease and poverty and war? Well, many, many a believer has been in dire circumstances. Paul being incarcerated, you know, and the disciples, you know, many of them, you know, all of them died except for the Apostle John.
Yeah.
So here we see this expression of liberty, which is not conditioned by my circumstances, but it conditions my inner man to be rightly related to God in spite of my circumstances. That is like what you defined true liberty in the Spirit. 1-800-338-7060, 410-483-3700. And let's look at some of our comments here. I think it's Brother Warrior. Okay, believing the Bible, the gospel of Christ, the grace of God has been sweet to my soul. Yes, healing Amen. To all my flesh, right through to the bone marrow. Yes, where the blood in the body is produced. That's so good. Healing to the mind and anointing on my head. Whew. You know, this kind of language, I love it, you know, because it's true.
Yeah.
It is true that, you know, God is not just going to engineer my circumstances so I have a good life or a good day. You know, in spite of the good life and the good day, I could have a lousy circumstances, lousy situation, but there's an amazing provision by the grace of God, and it's free to come and, you know, be my rescuer, I mean, and my salvation.
Amen.
And then, let's see, Elizabeth, I think, Ebeth Hogue, Father in Heaven, give Belinda a healing miracle. Okay, so this is a prayer request. This is okay. And that she would draw near, comfort her, give you wisdom, guide the doctors and hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, friends, you know, your prayer requests and, you know, the beautiful reality of the body of Christ internationally being able to pray. So feel free to send in your prayer requests. Well, you know, it was interesting, Pastor Matt, you know, this morning's micro devo that we sent out, you know, kind of running parallel to what this theme is, because Paul says in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10, he says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God." And it made me think about how, you know, those that say, you know, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and, you know, so now I can do whatever I want to do. I think that the thing that Paul is pointing out here is that this word labor and the Greek word kopiao, and it means to, you know, kind of grow weary. It means I'm involved, not to the extent of comfortability, but I'm involved in the measure of the scope of the call, you know, the measure of what God has called us to. Himself, and we can experience Himself, and that's a great high and holy calling. And, you know, the idea is that we will be, you know, we will be ridiculed, we will be marginalized, we will be talked about because we have placed our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, like, how much trouble Paul went through, how much he was persecuted throughout his time. He traveled from church to church. There were times where, well, let's see what happened. He got thrown, where is this? Is this 2 Corinthians where it talks about all of the troubles Paul was in?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Think of all the things that Paul went through. How none of these things like moved him. He just continued anyway. I'll just read some of them. You can't have this argument in your mind that life will be all hunky dory because you believed in Christ. There are other teachers out there who will tell you that if you have true faith, then none of these things will ever come near you. And then we just go straight to the Bible and we say, well, look at Paul's life. Starting 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, in parentheses. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. He was hit 39 times on how many different occasions? 5 different occasions. 3 different times was he beaten with rods. Once was he stoned and left for dead outside of a city, and he walked right back into that city. He walked right back into that city after he was left out there for dead.
Right back in.
Yeah. 3 times he suffered shipwreck. A night and a day he was laying in the ocean, in journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of his own countrymen, perils of the heathen, perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Could you imagine not ever backing down from your call, knowing what Christ has done for you, knowing how important, knowing that at one point in his life, he was on the opposite end of that, and he was the one dishing out the lashings. He was the one going after people for what they believed. And now he's on the other side, and nothing keeps him from going forward. He labors. He labors. He continues. Mm-hmm. He walks. He doesn't stop. He doesn't get held back.
Wow. You know, and the word that came to mind also was the word diligent. Diligent, which is not, a work to achieve something. It's a work because something has been achieved in you. I mean, a craftsman who does his trade, every day to the, as a master tradesman, he's motivated not because he's, how much he's going to be paid, but because he loves doing the work that he's doing. He is he's in love with the fact that he can even do this. Mm-hmm. And I think that, Richmond, 31 is like, why can we? It's because we are just so privileged to be able to go and to share this gospel message, this glorious gospel. We're not talking to folks about religion. We're not talking about folks about, changing their lifestyle or anything like that. We're presenting a glorious finished work gospel that by faith anyone and everyone can enter into by believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the phones are open, friends, so if you'd like to join us, we have some minutes left. 1-800-338-7060 is the toll-free number, but you can also locally here in the Baltimore area dial that number, 410-483-3700. Well, it's quite interesting that in the 21st century, Pastor Matt, that this message has not only been persevered in and grown in, but, it's caused an effect in our lives that motivates us to tell others about such a glorious gospel.
Yeah, David says back in Psalm 51, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." And then he says, then I will teach transgressors your ways. And so, we think back to the time that we received Christ, however that was, in all, every one of our lives, it's different. I remember a man shared with me, I was at a camp for a week in the summer. It was a Christian camp, and I didn't know anything about Christianity, really, other than a Methodist church's teaching on parts of the Bible, but usually not, the good parts. And he shared with me Romans 6:23, and it says, "The wages of sin is death." And he left it there.
Stopped right there.
He left it there for one night and said, "I want you to go think about that." And then the next day he said, "I didn't read you guys the whole verse, and I think the second part of the verse is the most important. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." And I was just blown away, because I was living that first night in "the wages of sin is death," and realizing all the little and big things in my life that really were sin, and then the free gift that is given. It is through that simple verse, through one simple word from God, from another faithful believer, someone who just has it in them, who's freely giving it out because it was freely given to them, that one thing just changed my life forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we think about, like, yeah, these guys in Richmond, what are they going and sharing for 31 days in Richmond? Maybe it's one verse for each of them. Maybe it's one thing that has spoken to them, that God has spoken to them, and now God will use them to speak to other people that same thing and pass on that resurrection life, pass on the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely, yes. And, it's like Laird Bean here writes in, he says, God loves to pour out grace on us. Now we can reach the younger generation. I'm sorry, yeah, that's right. That's the response to Laird Bean.
Yeah.
He says, as we grow older in Christ, we realize more and more the simplicity that is in our relationship with God. There is nothing that God holds back from us in his love and amazing grace. Yeah, it gets simple, it gets direct, because it's a settled conviction. It is something that we have, you know, has been tested in our own lives, tested even when we failed it. It never failed us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the value of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Well, let's go to the phones. Madeline, God bless you. You're on the Grace Hour. Thanks for joining with us.
Hello, Dr. Ray, Pastor Matt. It's Madeline Johnson from the Virtuals. And I just want to call up and say, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All of such freedom in the Spirit and the Word. And I'm just being so blessed by the message and everything. I just had to call out and say, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Madeline.
And I think, you know, Madeline, that is just that simple reality of what were we up against? We were up against a holy, righteous, pure, just God. And here we are as fallen, darkened, sinful men. Who could close that gap? You know, like, who could do anything about that? And then we have the daysman, as he's so beautifully described in the book of Job, the one that could hold the hand of God on one end and hold the hand of the man and bring the two together. And that's the God-man, Jesus Christ. And it's a beautiful truth.
Yeah.
Thanks, Madeline. You're welcome, dear.
Such freedom. Thank you. God bless you.
You too.
God bless you.
Wow, well, just an amazing subject. And we're going to continue, friends, on this subject. So stay with us during the week. Pastor Matt, thank you so much for just a precious, precious word. And we'll be back tomorrow at the same time. Hope that you can stay with us all week on the Grace Hour. God bless you. Until then, and until next time.